Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Jean-Claude Mass. How are you, Jean-Claude?
I'm very well, thank you.
Excellent, excellent. We're in Languedoc here, in your one of your vineyards, one of your many vineyards in Languedoc. And what I was hoping to do today was maybe talk a wee bit about Paul Mass as a company,
but
try and use that to maybe unpick the history of Languedoc a wee bit, because I think your family have been making wines here for quite a few generations now.
Yes, and I think my family is a typical example of the changes, I mean, of the evolution of the Languedoc. As I always say, my family has been grape growers. We had a farm where we were growing grapes and not really caring about what we were making as wines. Because the wine until the 70s, you have to understand that the wine produced in the Languedoc was to serve primary needs for people that needed energy and something to drink, the blue collars working in the mines, the steel industry and so on. So basically what they were looking for is to produce a large quantity of wine, 7-8% alcohol.
Quite low alcohol.
Yeah, quite low alcohol from Aramon. In the best year, they will reach 9. From Aramon, Saint-Sour, or Carignan, in the plains, not the quality.
So what was the first grape?
Aramon. Aramon was a grape that you...
Never heard of.
There is a book called Les Palais de l'Aramonie, meaning that you have many chateaus of the end of the 19th century.
Yep.
19th century chateaus that have been built thanks to the wealth created by the Aramon. Oh. Aramon, there were grapes that, when they were planted in the plains, they would produce up to 300 hectoliter per hectare.
Yeah, that's a lot, isn't
it? My grandfather, the history of my family is exact. I'm going to tell you quickly the history of my family. My great-grandfather has two jobs. He was a grape producer, making a bit of wine out of 9 hectares, and he was also a butcher. So that was kind of...
A butcher.
A butcher. Butcher in the village next to
him. Yeah.
My grandfather took on board at the beginning of the 1900, but he did 4 years of war, and the development really started after the war when he came back.
Yep. And was that the Algerian War?
No. Talking about the First World War, 1914, 1918. Okay, he did four years of war, and from the 20s, basically, he took over and developed into the 9 hectares vineyard into a bigger vineyard here, just next door, in the village of Saint-Pons-de-Montchien, 15 hectares, and that where they were producing wine from the hillside. You know, it was not yet a big demand, but it was a hillside vineyard. Producing okay quality. After the war, the Second World War, there was a major development of the industry in France. And basically, to make money with wine, you needed to have very high yield. So they sold this property in 1954 and moved to the plain vineyards, which are in Conas, where I live now. He bought the property where I live. And that's what he used for making a high quantity of wine with 28 hectares. He was making more wine than today we make with 120 hectares.
Yeah.
And that was shipping in bulk, basic wine, from mainly from Aramon.
Yeah, yeah.
In the 70s, major change. My father came into the farm at the end of the 40s. He didn't do the war, he was too young. And he helped my grandfather to produce this type of wine. In the 70s, we saw a major change of consumption of wine in the first internationalization of wine consumption.
Yep.
You have to know, in the 60s, the first exporter of wine in the world was Algeria.
Yeah, well, Algeria wine used to come into France and maybe be blended with a bit of...
Exactly, to improve, very heavy.
Yeah.
But you have to realize that blending some more different region wines was allowed for many years
until they were
put some rules.
Exactly.
So it has not as always been prohibited.
No.
But anyway, this Algerian wine, heavy wine, medicine wine, as we call them, were used to improve the wine from here, low alcohol wine, lack of color, or other region wine. But in the 70s, major change in the society in general. First, exportation of wine. Second, more white colors and less blue colors. Yep. People start to drink wine for pleasure, not for a need.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Languedoc was not at all adapted to that.
No.
Some people by work, and you saw the revenue going down significantly. And like my family, producing grapes, having a mentality of grape growers, was a good thing for the development of the estate until the 80s. After the 80s, this strategy did not pay.
Yeah.
End of 80s, there was a major change organized by Mr. Scully and Mr. Gravejean moving into varietal wines.
Yeah.
And producing Chardonnay, planting Chardonnay, Merlot, Cabernet. And that was a start of the change toward quality. The only small problem, we didn't explain to the grower, that if they changed grape variety, it was also to change the quality of the wine. So it was more mass production, kilo production, still with this mentality of grape growers.
Yeah, yeah, make as much as you can.
That enabled them, actually, to make a lot of money. In the 90s, these people planting Chardonnay, Merlot, Cabernet were doing very well. Eh?
Was it still co-op based, or was it...
Not only co-op.
But they were individual...
The Languedoc is co-op based forever, basically, since the beginning, since the development of the co-ops in the 30s. You talk about 70-75% of the production still being co-op based. Mm-hmm. And that's also part of why the mentality in the Languedoc is grape growers, not that much vigneron.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because a vigneron knows how to grow vineyards, grow grapes. He knows how to vinify. He knows how to blend an age. He knows how to bottle. And he knows how to market. In the 90s, with the change, thanks to a production approach, the Languedoc managed to have a kind of second breath, mm-hmm. thanks to the varietal, still produced with mentality of producing kilos of grapes. But in the 2000s, that didn't work anymore.
Yeah, because France...
The new world took over, Australia, yeah. Chile took over. Because there, you started to have guys that were producing a type of grape that the market wanted, but in the right way.
Yeah.
And it took us a bit more than 10 years, 2000, to understand that. Mm. So today, what we see is the major change is really getting into force, where we have vigneron more than viticulture, more vigneron coming up, but still a lot of grape growers.
Yeah.
So we have a kind of switch happening now, move upward on the appellation wines.
Yeah, because there's more appellations being created, aren't they, all the time now? And
yes, or maybe created or restated, basically, somehow. You have to realize that the production in total Languedoc in the 80s was 30 million hectolitres.
Yeah.
We're down to 11 million litres.
Are you still the biggest region in France in terms of volume?
Yes, from far.
And then Bordeaux, that makes you the biggest region in the world then?
No, La Mancha has become bigger.
La Mancha.
When we had 30 million hectoliter production, we're the biggest.
Yeah.
Not any longer.
No, well, La Mancha.
We're the largest single vineyard in the world for a bit of time. But now we've gone down to 260,000 hectares. Down from 340, basically. So we've gone down a bit.
And that was part of the grape pull scheme, wasn't it? Promoted by the EU and France to encourage people to pull out their vines and maybe...
Yeah, because, I mean, either it's to subsidize to make a living or to go out of business. And that basically, the major crisis happened between the 90s and 2000, where we push people to produce more grapes, so-called quality grapes, Merlot, Chardonnay, but not with the mentality of vigneron.
Yeah, yeah.
And that what really did a lot of harm to the Languedoc in the 2000. You have to realize that in 1997, 1 kilo of Chardonnay was selling for almost €1. Mm-hmm. Today, you talk about 50 cents.
Yeah.
Half the price. And why? Because we didn't do the right thing in terms of wine. We did the right thing in terms of grapes, but not the right thing in terms of wine.
Yeah.
We kept this mentality of great farmer and not of vigneron. Now with Chardonnay, we know how to make great wines, and the scope between the price is huge, because I talk about 50 cents, but also we pay Chardonnay more than €1 a kilo. So there is kind of hierarchy happening in the Languedoc, as all good wine-producing regions have. either Napa, either in Australia, the Barossa, the Victoria. All of the region in the world have got a hierarchy.
Yep.
All of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Now the hierarchy is happening here.
Yep.
And when I created my my company in 2000 on the foundation of the vineyard, or the family vineyard, I created with that vineyard mentality, that's the first point. And second point, by thinking about a hierarchy. I cannot make a wine out of a vineyard that produces 5 tons per hectare like I would make a wine from a vineyard that would produce 10, 11 tons per hectare.
Mm.
Second thing, my philosophy has been to understand what, how and how I should first plant my vineyard and then manage them. Knowing that we have moved to the fine wines and trying to make fine wines only 30 years ago, a bit less than 30 years ago, we went to see how they were doing such a region. Ah, over there they do like that. We have to do like that. Over there they do like that. Ah, we have to. And it has been a very inconsistent approach to vineyard management.
Yep.
What I did is I tried to understand what was the best way to produce grapes in the Languedoc for making great wine.
Yeah, yeah.
I made a fight with my father when I started to take over the vineyard until the day in 2006 where I took everybody out. And I was the only one on board. And basically, there have been two stages for Domaine Paulmat, 2000-2005, where there was still family involved in the company, and after 2005, so 2006, where I was alone.
Yep.
And major changes in terms of vineyard management and in the quality of wine.
But also in your marketing approach as well.
Because American Frog has been what put us on the planet, make us exist in 2005.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons. But also, this was linked. I'm a big believer in marketing. And when I see the new 4 P's of Kotler...
The new what?
The new 4 P's, the 4 P's of marketing.
Oh.
Initially, product, price, promotion, place.
Yep.
Today is a bit different. It's people, process, plan of action, and performances. I think that it's essential. The product is essential in any good marketing.
Oh, yeah.
It's essential.
Yeah.
So basically... As I was saying, there is no concept, a marketing concept, without a product, a very deep product philosophy behind.
Yep.
And that's exactly what happened with Arrogant Frog. By getting out of the box, I've explained how a grower from the Languedoc could dare to be different and produce outstanding wines of great value for money. And one day, maybe great wines, what we call so great wines, which then get into another dimension of the marketing and probably not about the product itself.
Yeah. Do you, a lot of your wines are positioned for the export market. I was talking to some of your people earlier, Sarah, and she said that originally you focused on the export market, and it's only in the last wee while that you've actually started to focus back on into the French market.
First... I'm international minded. I did study abroad and I travel. I work in America. I study in England. I work in Costa Rica. I mean, I was passionate by international business. So the first thing. So my business relation network is more international than French. First thing. Second thing, when I created Domaine Paulmat, what were the options to sell in France? When you have a bit of analytical sense, would you go in a market where competition is extremely high?
Consumption is going down.
Consumption is down. Market is down. Prices are down. Distribution is over concentrated. Would you go in a market like that?
No.
You have to be crazy.
Yeah.
Unless you never learn about business.
So what are your key export markets at the moment?
Key export market today, UK has come back very strongly because we opened a branch, but still number one is Japan, UK, Holland, and then America is moving fast, Canada, Australia.
It must be quite good for a Frenchman to sell wine back to the Aussies.
Yeah. But that was one of the objectives also to be, you know, to go against the people that took us our market share.
Excellent. All right, then. I'll let you head off.
Okay, with pleasure.
Thank you very much.